Do you remember your first car? Maybe some of you are still waiting to get your first car. Maybe some of you have your first car. I remember my first car, my first drivable car, anyway, that I bought after I got my license. It was a 1967 Chevy Impala with a 327 engine. The thing was a tank. And the trunk could sleep four, you know, if you went camping, and it was gigantic. And it was quite old at the time that I got it, and it wasn't in great shape. And for how heavy that car was and how kind of loose and glidey the suspension was, it probably should have had better tires on it, but I had the tires on it that came with it. And one day, I think it was on a Saturday, I came out, and the driver's side front tire was flat. And I thought, oh, that's not good. Well, my dad had an air compressor, so I went and got the compressor, and I filled the tire. And about a half hour later, I looked out, and the tire was flat again. And so I realized that there must be a leak somewhere. And so I jacked up the car, and I pulled the tire off, and I started to look around. And sure enough, I saw the head of a nail in the tire. So I pulled it out. I got a pair of pliers and I pulled it out, and it was really just this like little tack. The hole was so tiny that you really couldn't even see it. In fact, I went and got some chalk and I marked where it was so I could find where the hole was again, because it was like a really tiny hole. But see, here's the thing with tires. It didn't really matter how big the hole is. You just can't have any holes in tires, right? And I didn't know what to do about this. I really didn't have any money, and knew there was a way to fix it, but didn't know how to fix it. My dad was at work, so I called my best buddy Danny, and I said, "Danny, I got a flat tire. I had something in the tire, like a nail or something. It's a really tiny hole. Do you know how to fix that?" He said, "I'll be right over." So Danny came over, in about a half hour. We were standing there talking, and he said, "Let's see the tire." And he pulled it out, and I had marked it, and he looked really close. It was really tiny, this hole. And he said, "Oh yeah, I can see that." And he reached into his back pocket, and he pulled out a tool that looked like this. Now I don't know, and I don't know if you can see that from at home, but it's essentially a handle with what looks on it to be like a rough drill bit that comes to a point. It's about 6 inches long. And I was a little startled by that. And Danny then took and found that little tiny hole, and he rammed this thing into the hole of the tire. And before I had a chance to say anything, because he just made that hole 10 times bigger than it was before, he starts running it in and out, and pieces of rubber are coming out of the tire. And I said, "Danny, what are you doing? You're making the hole worse." Right? Whatever problems that you have had in your life, my guess is that when coronavirus came along, the problems didn't go away. They didn't just magically disappear. It doesn't work that way. Well, I had some problems, and now there's other difficulties, so those just get to go away for a while. It may have been that you still have those things, and now they're worse because of the situation. That the virus, that the situation that it's brought upon us has exacerbated those things so that they're 10 times worse. And if you're a Christian, and maybe even if you're not, you know somehow that God, because of who God is behind this in some way, is behind the disease and all of the fallout that's come from it. And maybe you've said, "What have I done to deserve this? It's 10 times worse. God, what are you doing?" I want to invite you today to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 13. Listen to this, it's the word of God. "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but may be healed. Well, God, we come to you as our Father through faith in Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, that by your word and by your spirit, that you'd give us perspective on what you're doing in our lives, and you'd cause us to trust you, help us to trust you. Through Christ our Lord, amen. If you are God's child through faith in Jesus Christ, the hardship that comes into your life is God's discipline. The hardship that you experience in life is God's discipline. And when things stack up, when they get worse, when they're 10 times as bad as they were, it means that God has determined that you need more discipline. Now, that's a hard truth. But if we understood that and believed it, I think we'd respond to hardship differently. Now, you know, as we begin this here, let me correct a common mistake that I see people make from time to time. Discipline is not punishment. Those are two different things. They're two different words in English. They're certainly two different words in the New Testament and different concepts. Discipline and punishment are not the same thing. You know, the Apostle John in his first letter tells us that perfect love casts out fear because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears has not been perfected in love. That punishment really has nothing to do with those who are the children of God. But discipline does. And this word discipline that our writer uses here means to stand beyond the expected point of time. In other words, to stand firm when it seems like there's nothing left. And Christian, put right out of your mind, you know, when you suffer difficult things, the question, what have I done to deserve this? Because that's a question that has to do with punishment. And it simply does not apply to your situation. And so we're told here to endure, and it's actually this word endure that means to stay in place beyond the expected point of time, that we're to endure hardship as discipline. You know, so you think about like athletes, right, who they discipline themselves in order to increase their physical performance. So you think of those athletes who, for whatever reason, you know, they might wrestle or might play football, that they need to increase their musculature. They need to increase the size of their muscles. So what do? They get a big iron bar with weights on it, and they begin to curl it. And the moment that that begins to get hard to do, they put it down, right? Is that what they do? It's not what they do. They curl it. And they curl it till it gets hard, and they continue to curl it when it's hard, and when they can't do any more, they do one more. And if they've got a training partner, then even when they're done, they'll say, one more, one more, one more. And they might not even be able to make it before they're muscles fail. Why are they doing that? Because that endurance, that discipline causes their muscles to grow. Or we might think of another sport. You might think of something like people who run a marathon. There may be somebody somewhere in the world who can be laying on the couch and one day decide they're going to run a marathon, but I don't know that person, right? And so in order to run a marathon, you need different musculature and different physical systems. And so people who do that, what will they do? They'll run until it becomes a bit uncomfortable, and then they stop, right? No, they run until it becomes uncomfortable, and they push themselves a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further, and work past the muscles burning and work past their chest heaving so that they can increase their cardiovascular capacity. And by enduring, by staying past the time that seems reasonable, they grow. You know, you might be saying about your situation, I can't take this much longer. You might have been in a situation where you were kind of there before the whole coronavirus thing came. And now it's even worse. God's word says to you, Christian, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Now, you know, when I say that, let me just hasten to add, God did not set a pandemic on the world to teach you a lesson or to teach me a lesson, right? God didn't, I don't know how many people it is worldwide, right? But God didn't take the lives of 90,000 of my fellow citizens in order to teach me a lesson. But God's sovereignty is so great that in whatever his big, all-encompassing plan is, it includes you. It includes you. And God works all things, not some things, not just some of the things that come into your life, but things that have big world cosmic implications, works all things together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Now, you know, as we look at this text that I've read this morning, the text assumes that all people were disciplined by their fathers. That was the common experience that he was referring to. It's not an assumption we can make any longer today. On the whole today, if you look at the world around us, children have very little discipline today. You see it in the schools. It's like the inmates are running the asylum there. And children today are not made to do very much that's uncomfortable for them. Not made to do anything too much that's not immediately easy for them. You know, the poor baby, if school's too hard for you, it must be the teacher's fault. Hey, parents, let me just tell you, don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to your kids. Because if they don't have a context of parental discipline, they're going to be bewildered when God brings discipline into their lives. And let me tell you that if they are his children, and that's what I imagine all Christian parents are praying for, that their kids will be his children. If they're his children, he will bring discipline into their lives. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. So God is going to bring discipline into the lives of all of his children. And the hardship that you undergo, that you endure, is God's discipline. Now the question is, what are you being disciplined for? Well, you know that's going to be different for every person. It might be that the discipline that God is bringing into your life is there because you throw in the towel too easily, because you give up too easily, and you need to be disciplined to learn to persevere, to stay when it's hard. You know, I'm quite certain that the first time the athlete picked up a set of weights and it got to where it was really hard to do that, thought, this stinks. I don't like this. This doesn't feel good doing this past what is really comfortable or easy to do. But he became used to that hardship, became used to that discipline. It might be that you need to learn, as Paul said in Philippians 2:14, to do all things without grumbling and complaining. When my kids were little, and I think that they'll remember this, that we had some really clear principles in our house about obedience and disobedience and the consequences that would come from it. And one of the principles, it was like an axiom that was repeated, and that was reluctant, complaining obedience is disobedience. Reluctant, complaining obedience is disobedience. That if you do what we've told you to do, but you do it with a sour spirit and a complaining attitude, that's going to be treated as disobedience. Why is that? Because God doesn't care merely for our external behavior. It's not okay with God if we carry out externally the things that he wants us to do, but our hearts are far from him. And maybe you need to learn to do that. Or maybe you need to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart more and lean on your own understanding less. So you know what some people will do? They'll say, well, sure, I'll be glad to comply with the Lord's discipline as soon as he lays it out and explains it to me, and it makes sense to me, and I agree with it. And then I'll go along with it. But I've got to be persuaded and convinced first. And it might be that God will bring discipline in your life because you need to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart more and lean on your own understanding less. Or it might be that you come to discover, as people do sometimes, when they face real hardship and they're thrown back upon the mercies of God, that God for them has been kind of a nebulous concept of right and wrong rather than a person with whom they really have to do. And it may be any number of things. It will be good for you at the time when you undergo hardship as God's discipline to search your own heart and say, Lord, what is it that I need to learn about myself and how do I need to change? Now, you know, you might listen to that and you might say, but listen, that's not pleasant. My situation before this was not pleasant, and this whole thing now that's going on is making it worse for me. Right. Discipline is not pleasant. It might, in fact, be downright painful. Verse 11, our author says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But did you think that God didn't get that? That he didn't know that you were experiencing pain? Did you think that he didn't know or didn't care? You know, the other day my wife and I went out. We took a long walk in the neighborhood. In fact, we walked into an adjoining neighborhood. We don't usually go on this walk because it takes quite a while, more than an hour to walk this path that we did. As we were walking, we walked along this path, the paved area, kind of through a wooded area, and up ahead there was a young mom with three little kids. One of them was in a stroller. She's pushing them in the stroller. The other two, I'd put them at 5 years old or younger, and if it was 5 years old, that would have been old. They were little kids, and they were on bicycles with training wheels. And so mom's walking along, pushing the stroller. Two kids are pedaling along. And they weren't going very fast, and so we were gaining on them. And as they came out to the end of that path, they made a left on the road, and we crossed the road to the other side, made a left because we were walking faster than they were, and started up. And I probably wouldn't have even noticed it. Maybe I would have a little, but it's a hill. It's an incline that goes up the hill. It wasn't a big hill or anything, but there was an incline. It was definitely a slope there. And we no sooner cross and begin up the hill that we hear the younger of the two kids say, "Mommy, pull me," right? So here's this woman pushing a stroller. Can you imagine trying to push a stroller here? And you know those little bicycles, right? Trying to drag the, and mom says, "No, I can't pull you. You pedal." And she said, "Mommy, I can't pedal. My legs hurt so much." And she said, "Well, no." She said, "You need to pedal." She said, "Mommy, I can't." Mommy said, "You can, honey." She said, "God gave you muscles so that you could pedal your bicycle, and you need to pedal up those." She said, "Mommy, it hurts so much. I can't do it." And mommy said, "I'm sorry, honey. You have to pedal. You know, follow your brother." And she said, "Mommy, I can't do it. I'm going to stop. I'll wait here." And she said, "Okay, I hope you can find your way home because we need to get home." And she kept going. And so finally, the little girl, you know, she's crying. I couldn't see her face. I was, you know, trying to pretend I wasn't noticing. But I imagine she had big tears coming down her face going, "Mommy, my legs hurt so much. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it." And she said that as she pedaled all the way up the hill, right? "I can't do it." Now she probably needs to learn to do things without grumbling and complaining, but that's a lesson for another time. It's probably the hardest thing her little legs have ever done in her life. Why do you think her mom did that? You think it's because her mom doesn't love her? I think her mom loves her very much. As a matter of fact, I think that if her mom didn't love her, stop her from whining, she'd grab the thing and break her back and try to drag the child up the hill, and the child would learn nothing. But she needed to endure. She needed to stay past. She needed to do beyond what she thought she could do so that she could grow. Friends, when we undergo things in life that are hard, the pain is real. I'm sure that the pain in that little girl's legs is real. No one's saying that it's not real. The pain is real, but the purpose is not the pain. And we miss that if we let our pain fill our vision. If we don't look beyond our difficulty. Because I want to tell you the truth here, that what feels like God breaking you is actually God fixing you. If you're somebody who takes notes and writes things down, let me say that again and write it down and underline it. What feels like God breaking you is actually God fixing you. And you know, you might look at what you undergo in the hardship and you say, "What's the purpose in this?" Well, you're going to have to, in examining yourself before the Lord, figure out what the specific discipline is that you need to learn. But you know, God has told you in his word what the purpose is. Look at verse 10. "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness." God's purpose in the hardship that you undergo, which is the discipline of the Lord, is for you to share in his holiness. Look at verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." What's God's purpose in bringing hardship into your life? It's so that you may have a harvest of righteousness and peace. And then look at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. God's purpose is your healing. See, what feels like God breaking you is actually God fixing you. My friend Danny made things worse, didn't he? I had this little hole in my tire. He made it 10 times as big as it was by jamming this giant thing through it. And then he probably made it 11 or 12 times bigger by rasping it in and out and pulling out pieces of rubber with it. And I said to him, Dan, are you out of your mind? What are you doing? I asked you to come over here and help me fix my tire. And he completely ruined it, didn't he? I mean, that was beyond repair, no? Danny took out this other tool. I don't know if you can see this one any better than you could see the other one here, but this looks kind of like a big needle with the eye on this end, except it's split here. And he pulled this thing out, and then he pulled out this thing that looked like a piece of black licorice that was maybe about 3 inches long. And he pushed it through there, and then he pulled out this tube of what looked like the like tester's cement, like the model glue that you use when you... And he took this and he shoved it into my tire, and he got it. It folded in half, so it was about half away. And then he pushed that in about halfway, and then he yanked it out. And when he did that, this thing is sitting there in my tire. And we sat and waited for a couple of minutes. I guess we were waiting. This thing's hanging out of my tire between the treads there. He's waiting for the glue to dry. And then he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a razor knife. And I said, what are you going to do, slash my tire now, you know? But no, he was just using that to cut off what was overhanging from that plug. And, after he did that, I only kept the car, I think, for about maybe another year before I got another car. But I never had to replace that tire. That tire was fine. What I thought was him ruining my tire was him fixing it. What feels like God breaking you is God fixing you. Endure hardship as discipline. Does God really still do that? Yes, he does. God's discipline is not a popular idea today. But God's word hasn't changed. And God doesn't change the way that he deals with people because that way has become politically incorrect or culturally frowned upon. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. It's the common experience of all who are in Christ. And what feels like God breaking you is actually God fixing you. Now, I want to tell you before I let you go another truth that is politically incorrect and culturally insensitive today. And that is this. If you are not reconciled to God, it would be unwise of you to endure hardship as God's discipline. Because through those hard circumstances which God brings into your life, God has a different message for you. You know, pandemics, tsunamis, volcanoes, floods, famines, earthquakes, disasters of all kinds since the resurrection of Christ have been the harbingers and birth pangs of the coming judgment of God. That there's a day coming when God will judge the world in righteousness. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God, that's culturally insensitive and politically incorrect, but it's true. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, for what may be known about God is evident to them, for God has made it evident to them. I want to point something out to you, though. It doesn't say the wrath of God has been unleashed from heaven, but the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And if you are not reconciled to God, the things that you suffer now and the anguish that you feel now through those things, God is issuing you a warning and an invitation. Because the warning is this, that the anguish, the pain, the difficulty, the unsettledness that you feel is a harbinger of your eternity if you're not reconciled to God. But Jesus said in John 3:17 that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The scriptures tell us that there's no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved. Whatever pain you experience now is just a little foretaste of eternity if you finish your life unreconciled to God. And God invites you today to be reconciled to him through turning from your sin and your self-reliance, your self-sufficiency, which you were never created for, and being reconciled to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you trust him today? I want to tell you that if you do, your situation probably won't change. Life will still be hard. There'll still be difficulties, but the meaning of those difficulties will change. Rather than being a warning to you of what your eternity will be, they'll become the discipline of God to change you, to give you holiness, to give you righteousness and peace, to heal you. And what feels like God breaking you will actually be God fixing you. Would you pray with me? Our Father, give us grace to discern our states before you. And Lord, if there are any with us today who have not been reconciled to you through faith in Jesus Christ, may you, O Lord, speak to their heart and through the hardship and the anguish of their situation, help them to see their peril and their danger, that they're receiving but the smallest taste of what forever will be like if they're not reconciled to you. But Father, for those who are reconciled to you, help us to see, hard as it is, painful as it is, not pleasant as it is, that the hardship that we endure is discipline. You're treating us as sons. What feels like God breaking us is actually God fixing us and conforming us to the image of his Son. So have your way with us, Lord, and do your work. And Father, cause us to be mindful and obedient children. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.